shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. So with the backstage pass, you have exclusive access to Phil TV in HD, high-definition coverage of our radio show. So in other words, you can not only listen to the show, you can watch the show performed every night on Phil TV in HD. And as well, when you go to our website, you can access, with a backstage pass, over a decade's worth of full shows in our archives. We also have character clips. We've got our free classic fills. We've got our rants, our video rants and audio rants. Lots of stuff happening there. Our webisodes. It's all there at philhendryshow.com, plus our news feed for you to comment on. So join us with a backstage pass and check out our souvenir shop. Anybody can go into the souvenir shop and pick up a bit of Phil Hendry there, man. We've got our hats, the Bobby Dooley keychains now.
You're wearing a hoodie, too.
Yeah, and if you're watching our Phil TV, you guys see me wearing my hoodie. Now, this has got nothing to do with the million hoodie march, although I guess it could.
You're trying to be all politically correct.
I'm not trying to be politically correct. What does that mean, politically? I'm wearing the hoodie, to be honest with you, just like last night. I didn't have a clean shirt. So I got on my Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, and you can pick this up, too, at philhendryshow.com in the shop. All right. Couple of things happening. One, a tour is about to commence, believe it or not, featuring two seminal, legendary bands from the halcyon days of rock and roll in the 70s and early 80s. And I speak specifically of Motley Crue and Kiss. The understanding here is that these bands will tour together, and that is going to be happening very, very soon, perhaps this summer. And the enthusiasm for a tour like this is running quite rife through a lot of people, especially people who are in their 40s, maybe even late 30s or early 50s to some degree, people who were big, big fans of the bands back in the day. It's an interesting bit of demographica that I was in my late 20s, I guess, I was in my 20s when Kiss started, but Kiss was always a band for, when I was around in the 70s, a band for 15, 16-year-old boys. Stephen Bozell is a construction contractor and a father of two and a husband in Corona, California, and he joins us on our newsmaker line tonight to talk about, the memories of Motley Crue, Kiss, and your plans on going out and watching them on tour, Steve.
Well, I've had a lot of plans, and I'm hoping that those plans will come true. I'm hoping that they will.
And I hear you are either out in a field somewhere or you're indoors. It sounds like there's a machine there.
No, that's where I am, is a pond that we have on our property. It's just off the back of our home here. I've got an acre, and I've come over here, and I've many times I want to be here by the pond.
And was there something that occurred today or something that happened within the last few days that has put a bit of a crimp in your plans to go out and watch these two bands? I understand you were going to go with friends.
Well, I think you put it very well. I mean, when you said that these two groups, along with other groups from that era, Scorpions, another group, Rats, another group, Cinderella, Kiss, Blue Oyster Cult. These are bands that, yes, I was a high school student in the late 1970s, and so I wanted to see these groups, and I did. I went and saw the Theater of Pain tour of Motley Crue, and the Girls, Girls, Girls tour of Motley Crue, and the plan was for us to go out and see these bands again.
Now, you're saying the plan was, you were going to go out with some friends?
Yes, sir. I was going to go out with two friends. One of them's a neighbor of mine. Another one's a man that I work with.
Are you not going out now?
The reason why the plan's been put on hold is because of a dispute that is currently that has arisen between myself and a member of my family. It has to do with personal possessions. It has to do with history. It has to do with a respect for history. And we've had a very traumatic a few hours. I'd say the last day and a half.
Can you tell me what that's about?
Yes, sir. It has to do with the destruction of private property.
The destruction of your property?
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, without me guessing, can you tell me who the family member is? It's your is it not your wife, April?
Yes, sir, it is.
Tell the audience.
Well, I had a number of articles, personal possessions of mine, that while it is true, you know, you have community property, and I understand that we got married, but I actually had these items before I married my wife. And
Were they items from watching these two bands?
Yes, sir. One of them was actually I had two T-shirts from the Girls tour. I had some T-shirts and I had a bandana from the Kiss tours. All of these were taken by my wife at some point in the last year or so, as best as I can find out. And these were all either put up for sale at a garage sale or given to Goodwill or something.
Did you ever tell her that these were really important shirts?
I did. That's a question. My wife, you know, if my wife loves me and knows that I love Motley Crue and Kiss and it was a part of my life, why would she then take the T-shirts and sell them on wherever, eBay? I don't know what she did with them and get rid of them. Why would she do that? You know.
All right, but well, okay. I mean, I don't know how the two of you communicate. I guess what I'm asking is, was it something your wife knew that these articles of clothing, these souvenirs were important?
Yes, sir. I would say that it was something my wife knew, and I would say that she looked at these articles of clothing, knowing that these souvenirs were meaningful to me, and she went ahead and took them and gave them away to.
To a what, sir?
She just gave them away to people. She gave them away to people. So I.
All right, but you have basically you're sort of kind of dancing around this, Steve. If I could, your wife knows that you love Motley Crue.
No, sir, I'm not dancing around anything.
Your wife knows you like Motley Crue. Your wife knows that you like Kiss, but she went ahead and gave these T-shirts away or gave these souvenirs away. So I'm wondering, did she know that you liked them to the extent that you were holding on to these T-shirts? Did she know that you liked them to the extent that you would be upset?
Well, I had the T-shirts, and I had them for over almost 30 years, so I don't think it takes much of a brain surgeon to understand that I wanted these T-shirts. And she went ahead and got rid of them. So that became a situation where when you ask me, am I still going on the tour? And the answer to your question is going to have to probably be at some point a no, because I have, you know, I can't bring myself to do what I wanted to do.
Well, you wanted to go out on tour with the Motley Crue T-shirts and the Kiss T-shirts that you had. Your wife gave them away. And so you now can't go out and follow the bands like you were going to.
Not the way that I wanted to. And not in the sense that I was a part of that historic event. Now, when I said to my but that's only part of it. When I said to my wife that she has now ruined the summer for me because I can't go out and follow these bands like I normally do or not, I normally would because these T-shirts are gone. And then she stood and with my daughter and my son present in the kitchen that morning, and she sort of shrugged her shoulders and laughed as if it was just. I was so upset with her that I went out into the garage and I broke all of the fishing rods that I had.
You went out and just destroyed a bunch of stuff.
Yes, sir. And I said to her, I said, you know, I said a lot of things to her.
Well, Steve, you know, this has taken me by surprise because I thought you were going to go on this. You and your friends were going to go by car and follow the Kiss Motley Crue tour.
Yes, we were.
But now that your wife has given away these souvenir T-shirts that you had, you're not going to.
I am so angry at this betrayal that I had contacted my attorney, Dolores Blazegame in Riverside, to see what can be done about having my wife pay restitution. And
but okay, can you really do that?
Yes, I can. I could compel my wife to take a job and to earn enough money to pay me back for the sentimental value of those T-shirts.
Are you, if you got the T-shirts back, you got the money back, would you still go out on tour?
If I could be assured that my wife was going to reimburse me the cost of those, the sentimental value of those T-shirts, which in my opinion goes into hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars, because of the age of those shirts, and I could be assured that my wife is going to restore the money to me, then I would consider going back with my friends, Mr. Hutch and Mr. Pettigrew, and go out and follow Motley Crue and Kiss. At this point.
So you're going to sue your own wife?
Yes, sir. I'm going to have a court enjoin her to pay me back for T-shirts that she one day, because she's just stupid. She's just stupid.
All right, Steve, hang on the line here. 877-876-7445. I think you've talked to us once before where you were going to sue your wife or your...
No, I've never sued my wife. I had considered suing my daughter for a situation having to do with a pet.
All right, take a break here, Steve. Hang on. Take a deep breath. Grab yourself a glass of water, something. So this guy was going to go on the tour, and now he's not going to, bud?
I guess not.
Because I wanted to talk to him about following Motley Crue and Kiss out on tour as they commence a tour, I believe, for the summer. Mr. Steven Bozell, whose wife got rid of all of his old Motley Crue and Kiss T-shirts, and now he's considering a legal action against her to have her pay to restore those shirts or pay him the equal amount in money. 877-876-7445. Wow. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here on the line with me is Steven Bozell from Corona, California. The tour that is planned for, I believe, this summer, Motley Crue and Kiss, that Mr. Bozell felt compelled to basically follow, along with a couple of friends of his, is not one that may be in the offing after all for him and his friends, because your wife gave away Motley Crue and Kiss T-shirts that you'd had since how old?
The first Kiss T-shirt I got, I was 17 years old, and then the Motley Crue T-shirt I got, I was 18 or 19.
And so these T-shirts are gone, and this has caused you to consider some kind of legal action.
Only because of my roots, Mr. Hendry, in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm not saying that I am proud of this at all, but I was raised by a father who was not a very open-minded man, and I've done a lot of work on myself to try to open my mind up, try to open up my life. But I still suffer from some of the, I guess you call, prejudice that my father taught me, you know.
Okay.
And my wife had given these or sold these T-shirts to Mexicans.
All right, so your wife sold or gave these T-shirts away to Mexicans, did you say?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get Dave on the line then, okay?
Yeah,
all right, Dave Oliva joining us here. Dave is a student from L.A. Canyon College. And David is also studying to be a police officer, eventually trying to get to the LAPD Police Academy. Dave, how are you?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good.
And do you know Mr. Bozell?
I've just been listening to what he's been saying tonight, you know, and it's pretty interesting, you know.
Yes, sir. I hope you understand that I'm not trying to say anything personal.
Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Bozell. I've been, my whole life, obviously, I'm Hispanic, but I've also was raised, you know, by parents who tried to tell me that to get a good education, you know, is the best way to do it, you know?
Your parents are very wise.
Okay. Someday I want to be LAPD, you know. But when I heard you say that your wife gave these T-shirts away to Mexicans, I've got to ask you, what's your problem, you know?
It's only because I was raised to be prejudiced, you know?
Right, but if you're raised to be prejudiced, you can't get rid of the prejudice.
Yeah, I can, and I try to consciously do that. But every now and again, it just comes back up again, and...
Was it like your father? You said your father treated you to be a prejudice?
Yes, sir, my father and my mother both, they both were prejudiced people.
Did they use all the N-words and all that stuff?
Well, yeah, they did. But you have to understand, it was just kind of the way it was.
No, I understand. I understand. When you're a little boy, there's nothing you can do about it, you know. But now that you've become an adult.
Yeah, but you see, I just had a very basic, visceral action. When I heard my wife had given these T-shirts away to Mexicans, I just went, oh, man, why?
Tell me, what was your reaction when she said that?
What?
What was your reaction when your wife said she had given the had she given them away or sold them?
I think she gave them away. I think she, there's a Mexican come up and said, you know, can I use this? I think what made it hurt was that some Mexican, excuse me for saying this, came over and said, can I use this to wipe up? He needed to wipe something down.
Oh, so in other words, she gave your Motley Crue T-shirt to a Hispanic, to a Latino, to wipe up something?
Yeah, I think he had to wipe. And that's the part that hurt. When I heard that, it hurt bad. So, I said to her, why did you do that?
Okay, well, hold on for a minute. So, in other words, your wife, she did this thing and gave away your Motley Crue T-shirt. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Can't you change your mind to say, well, you know what, I'm not going to be prejudiced no more?
I mean, I guess it's easier said than done, huh?
It's easier said than done, because when I think of a Mexican wearing my Motley Crue T-shirt, man,
that really bothers you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Well, I mean, look, you know, at some point you have to get rid of these prejudices, because this is what your father taught you, and it's ignorant, you know?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
You say you're getting all upset, you know, thinking about a Mexican wearing your Motley Crue T-shirt. Hey, you know something? I get upset when I see, like, my sister is dating some Anglo guy. I get upset with that, you know, but I got to live with it.
Are you prejudiced?
Well, I'm not prejudiced to the point where it's, you know, like, I'm thinking about it day and night. You know, I just have to go on with it. But the fact that you,
Is this the whole crux of the matter here, that your wife gave your T-shirts away to a Mexican?
The fact that she gave them away, yeah.
Well, if she had sold them?
Yeah, she got fair market value for them.
And what if she gave them to a Anglo?
What if she did what?
What if your wife gave the Motley Crue or the Kiss T-shirts to an Anglo?
You want me to be honest?
Yeah, be honest. It wouldn't bother you.
It probably would be okay.
Boy.
Well, I'm being honest. Were you going to be angry with me for that?
No, I mean...
Well, I didn't know that it ran that deep in you, Steve.
Well, I'm just trying to be honest with you so you'll understand why I've taken legal action against my own wife and why it means so much that I'm missing out on them.
Now, like, you're missing out on Motley Crue. Like, you know, I'm not old enough to remember these groups. I mean, I know their music, you know. I like some of their music. It's okay, you know, but... man, I'll tell you something. You've got to learn to, like, live with life and live life, you know, to the fullest, you know, without letting all this stuff get you hung up, you know?
Well, I mean, it's not like it bothers me all the time. It's just when she said to me, I don't have your T-shirts. I said, where are they? She says, I gave them or I sold them off. I said to who? She said that some wandering, you know, she said it was a Mexican that wandered.
She said it was a Mexican that did what?
Wandered?
No, wandered by.
So your wife sold them to the wandering Mexican, huh?
Okay, sir. I mean,
that's what I'm asking you.
Okay, that's essentially what your problem is, and you're just gonna have to live with that. And you're gonna have to, like the gentleman says, you're gonna have to just get over it.
Well, I'll get over it when my wife makes restitution.
Well, you know, it's too bad your wife didn't give those to some Anglo guys. You wouldn't care at all. You know, you'd probably make your own Motley Crue T-shirt, a Kiss T-shirt, go out on the tour with them by yourself, and it wouldn't be no thing.
Well, as it is right now, I'm going to have to go by myself because if both Pettigrew and Hutchins have started out, I'm a good week and a half behind them, so I'm going to be going into these concert halls all by myself looking like a big ass.
You're going to look like a doofus all by yourself, man.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, good luck with that. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much, Dave.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, this guy's a real douchebag.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. News and information coming up.
Phil Henry.
Famous Phil Henry Show. Boy, what a night. But we'll be back tomorrow night. We're still here tonight. It's been pretty weird, though.
Yeah, pretty weird people talking about, you know, like stuff with Ron Turner and his pin no pants on and everything.
Come on, man. You got to talk like you're not disabled, man.
What's he saying to me?
All right, well, just take it easy. When you want to say something, bud, just say it. And don't go, bit, 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 because it sounds to us like you're...
Well, I'm just trying to formulate to what I'm going to say.
What do you mean, formulate?
Shut up!
You're making him nervous, Robert, when you're talking to him like that, okay? You mean you're trying to formulate or to formalize? Is that what you're trying to do?
I don't know. Just tell him to shut up.
I'm just trying to find out what people want. You ain't saying nothing, man. You're just sitting there going, boop, 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 boop.
Take it easy. All right, 877-876-7445. Here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, David G. Hall is checking in from where? Is he in Pasadena tonight?
Yeah, he's having dinner. I think he's having dinner somewhere.
David, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm calling in because I've been listening here. Hold on for a minute. Hey, come here for a minute. Will you give me another basket of bread, okay?
Yes, sir.
And give me a... you want to get... Okay, and get us we want the Calistoga Springs water.
Yeah, Calistoga Springs, we want the...
Get the Pellegrino water.
Calistoga or Pellegrino?
I want the Pellegrino, right?
You want bubbles or sans gas?
What does that mean, sans gas?
David, are you there?
Hold on. Yeah. So I want a basket of bread... The lobster bisque.
Oh, God.
What's he doing?
He's ordering a dinner.
What do you want, baby? Okay. And she wants that shrimp cocktail, whatever that is.
Yes, sir.
Get the Pellegrino.
Yes, sir.
And I want Jameson's on the rocks, two fingers.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Phil, I'm sorry.
We're on the air, and I'm waiting for you to order, and I could have hung up the phone.
I'm sorry. I was in the middle of ordering dinner.
Then what are you calling me for on the air?
I didn't know Bud would put me right on the air. I wanted to talk to you. I didn't know all of a sudden you guys are pulling me up on the air.
You know that we're at the end of a segment. We go into a break, and then we come back. When you call, you know that that's what's going on.
Excuse me. I mean, all I was trying to do... was order dinner. I called Bud. I said, I want to talk to Phil. He put me on hold.
Yeah, and then at the beginning of the segment, we put you up.
All right. I mean, I'm this guy that's waiting the table tonight. He's flouncing around the place. I don't know.
Did you get your dinner ordered?
Yeah, I got my dinner ordered. Look, all I wanted to say to you, and to be perfectly honest, I'm just going with what you said to me once, which is, if I have serious concerns, I can call, and you'll put me on the air.
Yes, here we go again.
What does that mean, here we go again?
Well, I didn't know that you would take full advantage of that. Every week I got a phone call from you.
Hey, Phil, hold on for a minute. What are you all upset for?
Because I'm sitting here waiting for you to get on the phone and start talking to me.
Right.
And in the meantime, there you are with, I'll have the Clams Casino or...
Clams Casino, I got lobster bisque.
Whatever, man. And yeah, the Calistoga Springs. No, I'll have the Pellegrino. And what do you want, baby? And
hey, excuse me, she's my date. You know,
are you on the phone right now talking to me while she's sitting there?
She's having a ball. She's buttering up the bread. You like that? She's putting butter on the bread. She's looking at the people. Everything's good.
So what can I do for you, David?
Look, Phil, the only reason why I'm calling is I'm listening to these guests you got, and I think you're stiffing it. I mean, you are stiffing it bad. And
which ones?
The ones you're having on. Which ones? The ones you had on tonight.
All right, we had on...
Well, hold on, because I wrote it down. Where's that slip of paper? Where's that napkin? Where'd you put the napkin? Oh, you naughty girl. Hold on for a minute, Phil. You put it in your... Okay, I can do it from memory. You had on this Ron Turner, right?
Dr. Turner.
Right. And this guy is going on about how he strips naked.
He's getting naked to force a confrontation with his neighborhood watch people. That is because of what's going on in Florida.
Yeah, I heard eventually you got around to making the connection. But here's a guy that's taking his clothes off to force a confrontation with the neighborhood watch people. His wife, his friend.
His fiancé.
Well, whatever, his fiancé. I mean, that guy sounded crackers. And then you had on that Jay Santos, and you had on that Vernon Dozier. All three of those guys sounded like they belonged in a nut house. All three of them.
I thought that what we were, with the three of them, we had Mr. Dozier was the caller. He's an educator. And then we had Jay Santos, who is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
I know who he is. He's out of his mind. He's been on your program a million times. He's completely out of his mind. You know the guy I'm talking about?
Yes, I know the guy you're talking about. Just had him on tonight.
That guy's nuts. I don't know, you've had him on. I don't know how many times the guy's walking around with a pith helmet on, and he's got on whatever the hell, wingtips. I've heard this guy talking about the kookiest stuff, and then he's stopping girls to find out if they bought the right kind of underwear, and you got that guy on as a representative of Senator, what do you call it, Neighborhood Watch. Okay, so that's number one. Then comes this guy, Bozell. Now, I've heard this guy before, too, this crybaby. And he comes on talking about his Motley Crue T-shirts.
Right, which I thought was a very interesting topic, given the fact...
That's fine, okay? Well, it's whether it's interesting or not. But he starts talking about his wife selling these things, and he sounds like he's going to start to cry. Then he starts talking about he's going to sue her. And then on top of everything else comes this Oliva, and now the truth comes out. The guy's upset because his wife sold his T-shirts to Mexicans. This is what you call a night of entertainment? I'm telling you right now, Phil, it was the weirdest night of radio I've ever heard in my life. And you're not even half over with the show. Well?
What do you mean, well? What does well mean?
I just wanted to know what you know. Oh, wait, hold on, Phil. Thank you, sweetheart. I found the napkin. Now...
We already went through it. You don't have to look at your napkin now. I put these guys on because, first of all, the Motley Crue and Kiss tour, that's a big tour. That's going to be a huge event for that generation, for those Gen Xers who were coming of age during those, you know, the hairband days and before a little bit. And then I had on the Dr. Turner because he's very motivated about this vigilante thing.
Well, he may be motivated, but this thing has got more to do with this situation in Florida. It's very explosive. And some guy carrying a gun. Someone's dead. You got a whole bunch of people walking in the streets of New York and Sanford, and along comes this guy that you put on the air, and this is your relevant take on it. The guy's taking his pants off and hanging out in his front yard. This is his statement of solidarity. And then what was this thing? I want to ask you a question, and I'm serious. What's this thing about the guy got nude in a way that pisses off Americans?
He got nude. He looked like a French guy.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
In other words...
Hold on for what? Oh, okay. She told me.
Who's she?
My date, okay? She said that you said, were you listening to this? She said that you guys were saying that the French strip in a way that's offensive to Americans. I'd like to know what that is.
They wear their sandals and their socks.
Yeah.
And they wear a straw hat on top of their head.
Right.
And then they're nude.
Boy, that would piss me off.
There you go. And that's what Dr. Turner was doing. He was dressed that way in his front yard.
What's that got to do, though, with the kid in Florida?
It was all about neighborhood vigilante, neighborhood watch, about what a pain in the ass all these people are, how these people are, you know, they got their little power base, and they're trying to push their little power base around the neighborhood, and they're trying to tell everybody what to do, and, you know, the whole question as to whether, you know, these people are out of control was being raised.
So, in other words, to raise the question of whether neighborhood watch people are out of control, you got a guy who is stripped a lot. And then the other thing I heard was his fiancée is nude in the backyard. She's bending over, pulling weeds, and there's another scientist sitting there watching this.
I don't know that I heard that.
Well, I did. This guy Turner's in his front yard in his sandals and a straw hat. In the backyard is his fiancée. She's pulling weeds, nude. And there's another doctor, a guy by the name of Melton. Is that his name?
Yeah.
And he's sitting in a chair, looking her up and down while she's bending over pulling weeds. Now, what is that? What possible connection to reality does any of that have? That is not what I'm saying then, right?
Yeah, I you put it that way.
If I put it that way, that's the way everybody heard it. That's the way everybody heard it.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Are you sitting in a restaurant screaming at the top of your lungs?
You better believe it. You better believe it. I eat in this restaurant every week. I own this place. Folsom Market in Pasadena. I love it. And I can scream and I can yell and I can throw food. You want to know why? Because I tip good. I always tip good. Yeah, you go ahead and go to the can, honey. So she's gone to the bathroom. All right, look. Phil.
Well, you know, David... never mind.
What?
I don't know. I just the way you're talking to this woman that you're with.
My mother.
That's your mother?
Yeah.
Well, what's this baby stuff? And she's going to the can. And where did you stick the napkin?
I don't know. And what you're talking about? I take my mother out to dinner once a week.
She sounds like some bimbo.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, I didn't know. All I'm trying to tell you is that you've made your point.
Okay. So in other words, what you put on the air tonight, I don't know, man. I don't know where it's from. I don't know what planet you got these people from, but I would suggest you get them back on their flying saucer and get them home, because, you know, midnight's coming up on the West Coast.
I get it.
Yeah, I didn't mean to bum you out. My mom's coming back. I got to get off the phone. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Phil, I love you. You're great. You're one of the great talents in America. You're one of the great talents of all time. Everybody knows that. But tonight you suck. See you later, okay?
Well, just remember that. I mean, it's, you know, you're one of the great talents and one of the great, but tonight you blow.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's just, you know,
one of those things, man.
Yes, one of those things. One of the great talents in America, but tonight I happen to blow.
Well, don't get all angry and P.O. about it.
Hey, what is it with you, man? Are you Porky Pig or something?
What do you mean? Ha, ha, ha. Porky Pig, man. That's exactly what you sound like. What are you talking about?
Because you go, bee, bee, bee. You sound like freaking Porky Pig.
That man's name isn't Pork Pig.
They made Pork Pig, man. It's Porky Pig. And you sound just like him. You're going, bee, 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 bee. That's all, folks.
What's that mean?
Go ahead and do that, bud, will you?
Yeah. Do what?
Go blip, blip, blip. That's all, folks.
Hey, blip, blip, blip. That's all, folks.
Just like him.
Just kidding around. All right, we'll be right back. 877-876. Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Nuts.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Look at this thing. That's all I'm saying here. Just want to look at one more thing here. All right. So in other words, what I'm looking at is.
What you see what I'm saying?
I am seeing the numbers. Just hold on for a minute, folks. It's my trainer.
Did you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's 339 calories.
It's 339 calories. It's remarkable considering your weight.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Benji.
Yep.
That guy's name is Benji?
Yeah, he's been helping out. So 339 calories for a Starbucks.
Wait. That guy's name is Benji.
Yes. Just relax. 339 calories in a Starbucks Venti latte with whole milk. And I drink two of those a day.
Good. But you drink a triple shot, too.
Well, it's not the caffeine, man. The caffeine's got nothing to do with it. I can drink a triple shot of coffee. But, dude, I've been putting back 339 calories times two. You know, it's almost 700 calories in just coffees from Starbucks every day. And sometimes I have three. So the first thing I got to do, so today, that was my last. This is, see this one here? God, man, I mean, I'm going to be close to 2,100 calories today.
Yeah, man, if you compare about what kind of, man, you've been picking it down, you know?
Yeah, you've been pretty much shoveling it down for a long time.
Well, what do you mean shoveling it down, man? I've been, since a year ago, over a year ago, I have been doing my very best to take a look at what I'm eating, my weight, everything. I was exercising every day, and then I realized my diet. I had to do something about my diet.
Yeah, you started doing something about your diet, now you're in exercise.
I'll start exercising, man, but this is what I figured out for myself. And people, everybody's different. I got to figure out what the hell it is I'm eating first. And when I figure out what the hell it is I'm eating, because I'm going to tell you something, folks. I actually saw the scene from This Is 40 that I'm in, which will be out sometime in the spring. And I told you, I was doing ADR for the movie, and I liked the scene. I thought I was funny. And when I say that, believe me, I don't do that. When I look at myself, I'm a very, very critical guy, and I don't even like seeing myself on TV, and I don't like listening to myself on the radio, you know?
That's a good thing.
What's that supposed to mean?
You'd probably break down and cry.
That's real funny.
Just kidding.
Yeah. In any event, but I saw the scene from This Is 40. It was really funny. But let me tell you what, man. When you see this movie, you're going to be seeing one big dude up there on the screen. There's no question.
Yeah, they're probably going to need CinemaScope.
Real funny, man. Very, very funny, okay? CinemaScope? They don't even use that anymore.
You're going to have to use that big 76 millimeter.
Yeah, 76 millimeter.
76 millimeter, huh? You mean 76 millimeter?
Whatever.
You guys, you know, if you're going to give somebody crap, you ought to be able to speak English first. No, I looked at this scene. It's a very funny scene. It really is. But boy, am I fat in this scene. Thank you very much, Judd, for that nice profile shot. I'm kidding around. No, it was a lot of fun to watch it. But yeah, you know, I'm a big guy. So I said very sheepishly to the people there when we were doing that ADR, I said, when this movie comes out, I'm going to be a lot skinnier. And they're looking at me like, yeah, it's sure. Anyway, so.
Yeah, right. They probably got to believe that.
I'm going to make you a bet, man. I'll be 20 pounds lighter by the time the flick comes out. You mark my words. But in any event, what I'm trying to tell you is this. So with this Starbucks that I'm drinking right now, 339 calories, that pushes me over the 2,000 limit that I was trying to hold myself to 2,048 calories. Now, yesterday I did 2,129 calories. The day before, 1,920. And the day before that, 1,900 calories. Now, that is not a lot of calories. And yet, it seems like I could cut back more.
That one doctor told you about 1,500.
1,500, man. I don't know how anybody can live on 1,500. And yet, he said that that is for diabetics, 1,500 calories a day is pretty much, I mean, my doctor showed me a diet that he has that he gives to diabetics. It's 1,500 calories. And this 2,000 is one that I just picked out for myself.
How come?
Because I had been on this diet and I saw that the target calorie per day was 2,300 according to this one diet. And I wanted to just push it down to an even 2,000. So, I mean, the only thing that's pushed me over the limit this week are these freaking Starbucks. So if I get non-fat, man, it's a whole world of difference. Non-fat milk. The whole thing that makes these things so fattening is this damn whole milk. But, dude, even at that, you know, you get rid of the Starbucks. Do you realize, all you guys out there that are Starbucks addicts, all you people that are, you know, drinking your Starbucks, and believe me, I know where you're coming from. I'm into it, too. But, I mean, if you're trying to control weight and you're drinking that slop, and I say slop with the greatest of affection, it's...
You're going to be a big fat man, big fat lady, that's for sure.
Yeah, man. You will be big. Oh, yeah. But, at least you got to get that non-fat stuff. So today, just to give an example, God, man, 1, 2, 3 Starbucks. I had minestrone soup. Man, I had stuff... Real low-cal stuff, man. And then here comes the Starbucks, and I'm over the limit. All right, we'll be back here at our News and Information Hour coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.